When God calls, when God saves an individual, He doesn't save us just to sit in a church service once a week, listen to a message, sing a few songs, go on our merry way, and live the rest of our time for ourselves. But when God saves you, He saved you with purpose. And out of gratitude for all that God has done for us, according to Romans 12, it is our reasonable service to offer our bodies back to God now as living sacrifices. To live for His honor, for His glory, out of appreciation for all He's done for us at the cross. We have been saved with purpose. God is the one who knows what your purpose is. God wants you to know what your purpose is. Some people are waiting around for the angel from heaven to come and tell them what their purpose is. God has revealed His purpose to us already through His Word. Amen. And if you are in Christ Jesus today, if Christ is in you, then God has placed within you a holy desire. We call it a passion. Amen. And it's what motivates you. It's what brings you alive. When you're in the will of God, you are alive. When you're in the will of God, you are satisfied. Your life is full and filled. Amen. And so you'll never know what true satisfaction is until you understand what God's will is for your life and you are actually living out the purpose for which God saved you. So if you're saved today, if Christ is in you, you're a new creation in Christ, God has already placed within you, amen, some treasure, some gifts, some ability. Amen. What God is doing is He's giving you and I the responsibility to be faithful stewards of that which is invested in us, amen, and to begin to sow that, amen, into the hearts and the lives of others around us. We are to take, amen, if you will, the divine deposit of God, and we are to sow it into the hearts and the lives of others. And He who waters will Himself be watered. So, if you want to be a well-watered well, amen? Is that right, Kate? If you want to be watered yourself, then you're going to have to learn how to start watering others. Amen. You need to bless. You need to give. You need to serve. You need to pray for. Amen? Intercede on behalf of. Sow that which God has sown into you. If you receive something from God, don't just hold on to it. How many know that God doesn't give you a gift for you? He gave you that gift for somebody. Amen? Because somebody else has something you need, but you have something they need. So don't ever think that you don't have value, because the devil lies to people and tells them that they have no value. Yet God saw value in you and I. And He redeemed us with His own precious blood to bring us to Himself, to put His Spirit within us. And to send us out in His name, amen, to be an expression of His heart in this world, to be salt and to be light. And He who waters will Himself be watered. The devil lies to people. And he's a thief, Jesus said. And so he's trying to steal, amen, the blessing of God from God's people. He's trying to distract people from being involved or engaged in the will of God for their lives by offering all kinds of cheap counterfeits and things that will temporarily satisfy but have no lasting value. Jesus came not to be served but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. He didn't come, amen, for Himself, but He came for others. How many know it's impossible to be a Christian for yourself? You can't be a Christian for yourself. See, sometimes we think it's all about getting. But God's heart is all about giving. And God knows that a giver will get. Amen? If you're blessing, You receive. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. So if you want to be watered, get involved in watering others. Amen? Live in the will, live in the purpose for which God has called you and separated you. Now, there are reasons why people do not respond to this call of God. And today's message is something I've spoke on before, but I think it's very important that we understand that in order for us to accomplish God's plan for our lives, it's going to require a surrender of ourselves to Him. A surrendered life to the will of God. If you're not willing to surrender your life to Christ, then you will not live out the will of God for your life. Do I need to say it again? Yes. If you're not willing to surrender your life to God, then you're not going to be able to live out the will of God. Amen. It's not about just getting a little here and a little there, doing an event here and an event there. It's about a life that is now committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is now a soul that's been redeemed, and out of appreciation for the precious blood of Christ, I offer myself now back to God to love God back the rest of my days. How can I bless you today? How can I love you today, Lord? What can I do for you today? You've done so much for me. How can I be a blessing? How many know we don't get blessed just because, we're so spiritual? The reason we need to be blessed is because we're not. We need God's blessing so we can be a blessing. Not so I can just go around speaking tongues, amen, which I encourage. You should pray in the Spirit always, amen. But it's not about just what I'm getting, amen. I have a relationship with Jesus, amen. I pray in the Holy Ghost, and God builds me up and edifies my spirit, amen. But my purpose is not for self any longer. It's no longer for just paying attention to me and my needs and my wants. You know, people, they've done tests. The science, of course, is catching up with the Word of God. They tried to disprove the Word of God. Now the science is catching up to the Word of God. They're discovering things in the Word, and they just thought they discovered it. But they found out after doing thousands of the study over thousands of people who had mental illness, there was one common denominator, they said, that ran throughout. And they said the people who were self-centered had the hardest time in life. People who were focused, narcissistic, focused on self, living for number one, were the ones that had the hardest time. But he discovered through doing all these tests that the people who were givers, who lived for others, always did better in life. Isn't that interesting? And the devil wants to lie to people, even to some of us here today, and say that you don't have any value, see? You can't be like that one. Or you don't need to compare yourself to anybody else. You just need to discover who you are in Christ and say, Lord, what can I do for you today? Amen? How many know cleaning toilets can be an act of worship? I don't feel led to do that, but I've done that in the past. But if you're going to clean toilets, clean them as unto the Lord. Amen? Those ought to be the most spotless toilets you'll find. Because what you're doing is an act of worship unto the Lord. And if your ways are pleasing to the Lord, even your boss will say, that Johnny, he's a great employee, I know I can trust him when I'm away. He's going to do a good job in my presence and even when I'm not around. I know he's going to do a good job in my presence and even when I'm not around, he's going to do a good job. Why? Because Johnny has discovered that he's not actually working for the man, he's working for the man, amen? Our Jewish carpenter, Jesus the Lord, amen? So we work as unto the Lord, and everything that we did should be done for the glory of God, amen? So God calls us. How many here are born again today? You're born again, blood-bought, filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? You belong to Jesus. And, now how many here know what God has called you to do? See, now not so many hands went up. Now, if you raise your hand, you don't know that you're lying. We have to have an altar call. But God wants to reveal to you His will, His plan. He's the one that has everything you have need of. How many know the manufacturer, amen, knows the product? So in order for you to know your purpose, you got to come to God. You got to discover, seek Him, ask Him to show you. But when you're born again and the Spirit of Christ comes within you, and all of a sudden you find yourself excited about things that before you were never excited about, right? And you start to hate things that you used to like, you know? And you used to like things now, love things that you used to hate. There's been a change. You're a new creation. It's like, wow, it's a supernatural work. It's something God has done in my life. It's not that I woke up one day, I think I'll turn over a new leaf. A lot of people are trying to turn over a new leaf, you know? And the whole yard is full of leaves they've turned over, but nothing has changed. Amen? You got to let God make the change in you. And you got to be an open vessel. You got to come before God. Quit playing games. Quit trying to pretend to be something you're not. Amen? Just come to God and say, God, I don't have anything except what You give me in the first place. But God, I want You to take this lump of clay and I want You to do something with it. I want to surrender my life to You and allow You to be Lord of all of me so I can be a blessing in this world. Lord, I want to live for Your honor now. I want to love You back for the rest of my days. And so here I am. I present myself to You, Lord God. And I thank You, Jesus, that my past is the past. Amen. I'm no longer tethered to my past. I refuse to allow that which was, amen, to enter into the now. Because today is the day of salvation, healing, and deliverance. And God has a plan and a purpose for you this very day. And in order for you to discover it, you're going to have to seek the Lord. Amen. You're going to have to call on Him. And when you are stirred up, as we have a time of prayer or worship together, you know, all of a sudden, things like Retha started teaching up here. I thought I was going to have to take the mic from her, but her heart got stirred up. See, it's the Spirit of God stirring up within her. A holy desire, a passion. Amen. And she wanted to share. But she's sharing how she's got a servant's heart, you know, and that's precious. And so understand that there are adversaries. The devil is trying to steal from you your inheritance. You see, what God does is that once again, He gives you something for you to trade with, something for you to deposit. Amen. He gives you seed. He gives you His word. He gives you an understanding or a know-how to do something that's unique to you. And so you take that investment, that seed. It may only be a few seeds, but watch what will happen if you start to be faithful to sow that seed. You know, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You know, now, if you ever look at a seed is just hard. It's brittle. It doesn't seem to appear to have anything going on. It just looks like a dead, dried up seed. But within that seed is a treasure. Amen. There's life within the seed. But the seed has to be sown. It has to be given. And sometimes the devil tells people that you don't have any value. You don't have any purpose. God has not gifted you like others. And so, you know, you're just called to attend church. Okay. And then spend the rest of your time keeping up with the sports games. What is he doing? He's distracting you away from your eternal inheritance. He's a thief. God has given you He's put an investment in you, amen, of His divine money, if you will. And He wants you to take whatever you have, whatever fishes and loaves, maybe it's just a sack lunch that God's given you. But watch what Jesus does, right, with something that He has in His hands. He can bless it, He can multiply it, amen, and make it spread. Hallelujah. So start to learn how, amen, to sow, to give, to share, to bless. When we come together, amen, it should be to bless. Amen. Even when you are here, you may not be preaching. You may be just here, but you being here makes a difference. Because you carry the anointing of God. Amen. Your angels are assigned to you. So when we come together, It's a blessing. And so how many know that you can be a blessing to somebody without saying anything to them? Simply because of the presence of God in your life. You can come into a place and the atmosphere can shift because of the Spirit of God in you. Somebody was sharing the other day about how on the job, you know, where people used to, you know, use a lot of profanity. Well, then they found out there was a man there that loved the Lord, you know, and he was a man of God. They discovered that all of a sudden they're being cautious now. Some of them, you know, they're actually the fear of God began to come upon them, and they began to be a little more cautious around the man of God. And they're not cussing like they used to. Amen. Because they know that there's something greater going on here and then what they're seeing in the natural. The very presence of God makes a difference. And when we gather, the Lord says, I'm in the midst of you. And you all have something. So I'm going to give you 6 reasons. You ready to write these down? 6 reasons why people have difficulty responding to the call of God or the will of God. First one is their minds are fixed on this present world. The enemy has got people preoccupied with lesser things so that they spend all their time and all their passion on empty, vain things. Entertainment, 24/7. How many know you can just get on that tablet or turn on the boob tube and be entertained 24/7 and be completely distracted, completely miss out on the will of God because the enemy has got you right where he wants you. He just wants to distract you because he's a thief. What we need to do is turn that off, amen, and open the book and pray to the Holy Spirit, amen, and say, God, what do you have for me? Discover, amen, what God has. These words are living, aren't they? This is a living document, if you will. It's not a dead letter, amen. It's a living document. The Bible, praise God, the Word of God, amen. And when we have the Spirit of the Lord, we have the teacher on board, amen. So the Spirit and the Word work together. You can't separate Jesus from His Word. So the second reason why people don't respond to the will of God is because they have other passions that are taking priority. So mixed priorities. The third one is they have a guilty conscience. People won't serve the Lord because of guilt, because of shame, because of regret over the past. We just talked about it this morning. People living out of yesterday cannot enjoy today. They're bound. They're tethered to the past. Number 4, because people are fearful. We can miss the God because fear is a paralyzer. Amen? You know, that's what the enemy would do. A lion sometimes will actually roar. You know, he will roar to temporarily paralyze the prey. Just long enough so that he can get his teeth in the prey. And the enemy wants to use fear to shut down God's people. And we have to overcome. We can't allow fear, amen, to dominate us. We have to have courage. And courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the mastery over fear. It's taking control of the fear and not allowing the fear to control me. How many know it's a healthy fear to look both ways before you cross the street? Amen. You have to have a certain understanding that I need to be cautious towards other people. And when I'm around other people, I need to be able to read, amen, and understand motives and try to figure people out before I can trust them. So there's some healthy, and it's not the fear, the paralyzing fear, but it is a cautious kind of fear that we all have. And God put that in us for a reason. Sometimes God's warning you about a situation. He's saying, stay away from that. But so fear is actually a tool that can be used, but it's never to be a dominating force in our lives to where now we are so fearful that we cannot be the expression of God's heart in this world. And the enemy is a thief. And he wants to put people in fear so that he can stop them from accomplishing the will of God for their lives. Number 5, they feel unworthy or insignificant. I said it already. People feel like I don't have any value, or I'm just a nobody. You know, if you believe that you're a nobody, you'll live like a nobody. If you believe you're a loser, you'll live like a loser. If you believe you're stupid, you'll act stupid. And the devil's the one that tells you these things, by the way. We got to quit listening to that voice. that I'm just a nobody. I'm insignificant. I'm going to know that God calls insignificant people, amen, into significance. He takes the ordinary and makes them extraordinary. We can do all things through Christ who is our strength. It's not about the vessel, is it? It's about the God of the vessel. Sometimes that line gets blurred and we start having respect of persons and respect. Well, you know, you get around certain people, they're your friend, you know, and you're having good fellowship with them, and then somebody else comes along and all of a sudden now you're a third wheel or something. I don't know what the... You ever run into that? And all of a sudden now they don't want to talk to you, or they don't want to pretend they don't know you. I got to rub elbows with Biff and Tab, you know, and keeping up with the Joneses now. Oh, high society folk. You see it even among clergy, by the way. Yeah? I'm just saying, you know, because we've been in circles together, and you get some arrogance among the clergy. As if somehow we gave ourselves the calling and the anointing, and somehow it's of us. Now it's of us. It's no longer of God. It's of us. Now we're in trouble. Because pride comes before what? But you get around certain ministers and, you know, hey, how's it going, man? And then somebody else comes up. They break in. Oh, how many are you running? Oh, I don't want to hang out with small potato over here. I want to go over here with the big potato. You know what you call that? It's called a chameleon. A chameleon changes with his environment. He conforms to whoever he's with at the time. Amen. It's like one of these days I'd really like to know who you really are. Can we get acquainted? I'd like to know who you are. Not who you're acting like, but who you really are. God wants to liberate people, amen, to be who they are in Him. And not trying to pretend and be somebody else. Praise God for the men and women of God. Can you say amen?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. But I don't want to be like them. I want to be like Jesus in them.
Amen.
We need to put our focus, our attention on Him. He's the superstar. And guys, one more. We're at number 6. You ready for this? This is another barrier for many people in responding to the call of God for their life. And that is pretty much, you can sum all these other ones up in this one. Are you ready? They love themselves more than they love Jesus. Do I love myself more than I love Jesus? Sometimes I think I probably do. Because whenever I'm putting my will before His will, guess what? I'm loving me more than I'm loving Jesus. Whenever I put my family before the will of God, I'm loving my family more than I'm loving Jesus. You can't serve two masters. Whenever you put your work, even, before God, whatever it is in your life, it becomes an idol. Some people, I'm not opposed to watching sports, but for some people, they love the sports more than they love Jesus. Why? Because that's a priority in their life. And the things of God take a seat to that. Am I speaking the truth today?
Yes.
How many remember the story of the rich young man? Rich young ruler, some believe, and in Matthew 19:16. He came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to them, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God." Well, how many know Jesus was God? "But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And so, oh, great. I've been pretty good. in my own evaluation of myself, he's thinking. He says, which ones? You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Now he knew something was missing. Otherwise he wouldn't have asked that, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Verse 22, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to the disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now I know some people want to get a hold of that and say, well then it's not good to be rich, it's good to be poor. It's not what he's saying. What he was doing is he was exposing the heart of this young man. And what he was doing, he was pointing out that this young man's God, his idol, was the things that he possessed. He thought that his life consisted in the abundance of things that he had. Like the old bumper sticker that says, he who has the most toys wins, right? What a lie. There's no U-Hauls going to heaven. You've heard that. No U-Hauls going to heaven. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 13:22. About the seed among the thorns. He said, he who receives seed among the thorns is the one who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitfulness and unfruitful. In other words, the riches have taken control. And it's a deceptive thing. You know, God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. And you'll find usually around people that are really depending on God for their daily bread, that they're usually closer to God. Are you hearing me, somebody? So with finances, with blessings, with provision also comes a stewardship, amen? That I better learn how to be a good giver, amen? Lest that thing becomes a god in my life. And I start to drift away from my Lord, amen? Who provided everything in the first place. Number two, other passions taking priority over the will of God. Excuses of money. Sometimes busyness. I'm too busy right now. And one of these days, maybe when I retire, I'll start serving the Lord then. Chances are, if you're not serving Him now, you won't then either. Family. Family can be a distraction. How many believe that it's important to take care of your family? Amen? You got to get tight with your husband and your wife, and you need to make sure that, amen, is in order. Amen? But still, even within our relationship, myself and Jesus, Jesus has got to be the priority of our life. Amen? And if we will keep Jesus first in our own personal lives, and then number two, my wife and I, amen? And by the way, not your children before your wife or your husband. Amen? Because if your marriage isn't healthy, then the children or men are going to suffer too. So make sure your husband and wife relationship is tight, amen, and that is grounded in Christ, that it is centered in the Lord, amen. He is the glue that can keep any marriage together.
Right.
And so Jesus gave us this story in Luke 14:16 of the certain man who had a supper. He said, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent a servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I asked you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I asked you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to the servant, go out quickly in the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed, the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who are invited shall taste my supper.
Yeah.
Our Father. Father in heaven is preparing a feast, a banquet for his son, Jesus. Amen. And he's calling out for the guests to come and accompany him and join him. Amen. And so God is calling us to unite or join ourselves to the Lord. Amen? And the mission or the will of God. And so, if you notice these excuses here, they are all lame excuses. You don't buy a field before you've checked it out, amen? You don't, if you're a farmer, you're not going to go buy 5 oxen and then go check them out. So what he's doing is he's pointing out that these are just excuses that people will make for why they won't follow Jesus. You see, the things of the world have choked them. The riches and the cares of this life have choked that seed and it's become unproductive. How many here want to be productive? Then we need to live in such a way that nothing will tether me to this present world. I'm living for eternity. Amen? It doesn't mean you can't have nice things. It's that I'm not living for nice stuff. Amen? I'm not living for temporal provision and comfort. I'm living for that which will be, because I understand that here we had no continuing city. Here, this life is only momentary. James said it this way, your life is only a vapor. Amen? It's like that quickly, you're going to look back and say, where have the years gone? Where has the time gone? How many know today is the day, amen, to put your hand to the plow, get involved in the will of God, amen, start living for Jesus, amen, and quit looking back, amen? Because Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom, amen? Because you're still tethered to this temporary world. You see, the people that are looking for the return of Jesus are the people that are living for Jesus. Now you hear me? Because they're not in love with this world. They're in love with Jesus. And they're looking forward to something superior. They're looking forward to something better. So I'm going to take my time, my efforts, my finances, whatever God gives me, and I'm going to invest, amen, in eternity, because here I know that soon and very soon, every knee is going to bow to Him. Every tongue is going to confess. You and I have our day in court. In that day, I want to be rewarded and I want to hear Jesus say, you've done well, son. My good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You didn't live for you, you lived for me. Amen? And now, I'm going to have you sit at my table and I'm going to gird myself and I'm going to serve you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. You see, we also see it in this Israel, and the Jews, when Jesus came unto His own. Amen? The invitation was going out, but they rejected the invitation. But it says in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, amen? As many as received them, to them He gave the right to become the sons of God, the power, the authority to become the sons of God. Praise God. And Jesus said, those who come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. How many have discovered that the will of God for you is what really satisfies you? When you're living in the will of God, you're doing what you know God has called you to do, it doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy, but it does mean that you'll have a supernatural joy even in the midst of all that. We've been talking about joy this morning. That was good. Number 3, let's take a look at this one. This is a big one. Many people are paralyzed because of guilt. How many know as a child of God should never have to live in guilt anymore or shame? We need to put our confidence, our trust in the blood of Jesus and what He's done for us. We need to believe the report that God gave us concerning His Son. Because you know what happens when a person is dealing with guilt? They'll usually withdraw from fellowship with other believers. And you know who's behind that? The accuser, the devil. I was just talking with someone earlier, and they were saying how they just felt like when they come in, they were expecting people to look at them a certain way, you know? And I've been there. How about you? Maybe you haven't been quite right, and you come in, and you're just feeling like, I wonder if anybody knows this, I haven't been quite right. And you know what happens? The devil's going to be happy to oblige that. Because the devil knows what's going on. A lot of those thoughts are the ones he planted anyways. And he knows if he's got to take her, so he's going to plant those thoughts and say, you might as well stay out of fellowship because they're going to judge you when you go there. And when people overcome that and they say, "Ah, listen to that voice, the Holy Spirit's telling me to go to church," they come into fellowship and all of a sudden they're getting embraced, they're getting loved, and they go, "Oh, man, that devil's a liar." It doesn't mean we're embracing the sin and saying it's okay. It means that we love you, amen, and we want to help you through. We're gonna help you get over this thing, amen. If you need some prayer, you need deliverance, whatever it is, we're here, amen. Because if you do well, I do well. Because we're members of the same family. Amen. So don't let guilt destroy you or prevent you from living out the will of God for your life. Praise God. Remember when Isaiah, in chapter 6, it says, when he saw the Lord, he became aware of his sinfulness. In verse 5, he says, "Oh, woe is me." He saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. You know, he had a vision of Almighty God, and he was just undone in his presence. He was like, he realized how holy God is and how unholy he was. How many know that it will humble you to get close to God? Amen? Arrogant people aren't close to God. Humble people, amen, are close to God. God gives his grace to the humble. So, he says, "I am a man of unclean lips." All of a sudden, he probably didn't even realize that until he was there. And then all of a sudden, ooh, the light is on. And he felt like one of those cockroaches. He just wanted to go hide in the shadows. But how many know you can't hide from God? He'll find you in the shadows. Amen? And if you don't deal with that stuff now, it's going to come before him in that day. And you don't want it then. Some sins go beforehand. Others follow after. How many know that today is a day we need to get our heart right? Today is a day we need to forsake our sin and turn to Jesus Christ, amen, with our whole heart, and let the Lord blot out those transgressions, purge those iniquities, and make you a clean and holy and pure vessel that can contain the glory of God, amen, and be a vessel of honor for His use, hallelujah, and to live a life free of guilt and shame and condemnation, because in Christ, and you abide in the Lord in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation, because we are walking according to the Spirit, amen? And then he said in verse 6, "And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he'd taken with the tongs from the altar." See, there's an altar. There's a temple in heaven. Just like the earthly tabernacle, amen? It's a pattern of that. "He touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged.'" Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us go right into the presence of God." This is the New Living Translation. I like the way it says it. "Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him." Now listen, if you come with your own qualifications, if you come with your own list of how good you are, it ain't going to work. It's not acceptable. We need the blood of Christ to cover us. You see, the publican, amen, and the Pharisee, he came before God with a list of all the good things he was doing. "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men," comparing himself to others. But the publican, he simply beat his chest and he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." How many know he was closer to God because he realized how holy God was? He must have had a revelation of God's holiness, amen, that it was such an impact on him that he was just undone. And he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And God justified that man, forgave that man. He went away justified. Hallelujah. But the one who had boasted in himself and was comparing himself to others and thought he was so super spiritual, he wasn't justified. Why? Because God doesn't tolerate arrogance in His presence. All of us have to come the same way. There's only one way for you and I to come, and it's not based upon our own personal credential or our own assessment of ourselves. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can approach the throne of our Father. So thank God for the blood of Jesus, amen, that cleanses me and that qualifies me for the presence of my Father, amen. So now I can come with confidence before the Father's throne, because of the precious blood of Jesus. I am trusting in that precious blood, amen? That it is covering me and it is qualifying me to be able to call upon my Father, amen? And the Bible says, if you sin, praise God, you have an advocate with the Father, amen? Call on Jesus, say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And He's faithful and just to forgive you. And don't listen to that accuser anymore. Don't listen to that liar that wants to keep you under guilt and shame and condemnation and tell you, oh, look what you did. Remember what you did back then? Do you think God ever forgave you about that? You say, yes, He did. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted because of the blood of Jesus Christ. My confidence, my hope, my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I'm not confident in my righteousness. I'm only confident in His righteousness. How many know that if you're in right standing with God, you will live righteous? Why? Because Christ's righteousness will be reflected in your life. When you walk close to God's heart, you will bear the fruit of God. And that is righteousness.
Yeah.
It's a relationship. It's always been about relationship. Okay, you're moving right along here. Deal with the guilt. Right? Amen. Number four, fear. The fearful heart. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Listen to his response. Before I formed you in the womb, the Lord told the prophet, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, oh, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But God told Jeremiah in verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. What does he say in verse 8? Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. All we need to know is that Jesus is with us. My confidence, amen, is in my big brother, Jesus Christ. He's got my back. Wherever you go, whatever you face, any devil or demon or a situation or temptation in your life, you've got your back up, amen. You've got the Lord on your side. He's got your back. My confidence is in the Lord Himself, amen. Not in how well I can do, but that God is with me and He will help me to do what He calls me to do. I will partner and He will assist me. He says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you. So whenever you're feeling fearful, this is where you've got to shift into faith in God. Say, but Jesus, you said, and I will say this sometimes to the Lord, not that He doesn't remember, but for my own sake. Yeah. Amen? The word of our confession. And I'll say, Lord, I thank you that you are always with me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. My confidence is in the fact that Jesus said, I will be with you. Call on me. Call on me. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. The word saved also means to be delivered out of. Don't try to do it in yourself. Amen. How many know you can't serve God in yourself anyways, really? What we're called to do is beyond what we can do naturally. Some people do operate in their natural ability, amen, void of the Spirit, and they even do Christian things. I mean, you know, people can preach without the anointing. They can learn how to put sermons together, and thank you very much, I'll just get the book and read it. But yeah, I don't know if I even want to read your book, but if the Holy Spirit wrote it, I'm up for it. Amen. I'm open to it. But people are trying to serve God in their own strength, in their own wisdom, in their own power, in their own ability. They think, well, I got to go out and I got to do this thing. It's like I've got to work for God. Now, sometimes even when I speak this message, this type of message to people inside, they're saying, but man, do you know what God is asking us to really do here? God is asking us to talk to somebody else about Him. Oh. How many know that if I'm in a place where that's how I am, it means I'm too full of me and not full of Jesus? Because when you're full of the Holy Spirit, He gives you a confidence, amen, that is supernatural. So that you can be at ease, amen, wherever you go. You're not in fear, you're in faith. Because it is the faith of God that energizes us and helps us, amen, to do the will of God. So fear is not to be my master. It is to be a tool that I may use to take courage to overcome. Again, I talked about the tool, meaning that sometimes, you know, we have to have a healthy fear, even respect of your enemy. You got to have some respect for your enemy. You don't want to just be glib about it or nonchalant and think, oh man, we got this thing nailed. You know, it's like, no, you better know what your enemy's capable of. Amen. So that you can form a strategy that's going to be effective in overcoming him. So likewise, you and I are soldiers. We're warriors for God. Amen. And so we don't entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life like Paul told Timothy. But we commit ourselves to discipline as a soldier. Amen. We rank and file to be, amen, standing at attention in the presence of our commander in chief and waiting on the orders to go. If the Lord says stop, take some time at garrison, our little R&R, go for it. Amen. You need it. When the Lord speaks and He calls, it's time for us to come to attention, to alert. God just spoke to me. God's put this on my heart. Amen. You get that? Somebody keeps coming back to you. It's probably the Spirit of the Lord saying, I want you to intercede for that person. Or maybe He wants you to call that person. But if you're a soldier of Jesus Christ, you have to be willing to endure some hardship. Amen. For His name's sake. And God will give you the grace to do it. All I know is that I can only do what God calls me to do because of His grace, because of His ability that He supplies me. You know, guys, I'm not here to, because I've got it easier than a lot of our brothers and sisters, amen? But still, there's just a lot of stuff that goes on, you know? And you want to help people, you want to be available, you know? And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd probably be in the loony bin. You know, I mean, seriously, because what happens is the enemy has a way of dumping on you. And some of you have not learned how to cast that stuff off. Amen. And so the enemy keeps dumping and dumping and dumping. And you're just, before you know it, you're depressed. God says, cast it upon me. Cast all your cares. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, right? But in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He is our peace. Amen. We know that God has got our back. He's with us. He's for us. He's not against us. I'm never alone, no matter what happens in life. It's not like God's up there saying, oh, I didn't know that happened. He knows all about it. He's got the grace, amen, for every moment and every day. That's why we need to pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. You got to come to Him. You got to pray, amen. Be clothed in the armor of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here's Moses. Exodus 3:10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? How many ever feel that way? You know, it's not a bad thing in the sense that you need to realize that you don't have what it takes in yourself. If you have the opinion, oh, yeah, no problem, I can do this. I think self-confidence is a setup for a fall. Would you agree? But then the Lord encouraged Moses. He said in verse 10, oh, he said, first Moses said, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So now he's saying, I'm not really qualified, Lord, to do what you asked me to do, as if God doesn't know what we're capable of. Like God says, oh, you know, you're right. I shouldn't have chosen you. I should have chosen somebody else. But that's sometimes we try to, you know, argue with God a little bit. And God said, who made man's mouth? Or who made the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall say. So don't freak out if God wants you to be a witness, and he wants you to open your mouth for him, because God will meet you in the place of obedience. All you got to do is say, okay, Lord, I'm stepping out, and I'm going to trust you. And as soon as you step out, the Lord says, well, I was waiting for you to get with me. And now all of a sudden the grace of God is flowing freely in your life. You have a confidence. The words are coming that you never thought of because they're not of you. The Holy Spirit is now working through your life. Amen. And you are being a witness for Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's contagious. Amen. You start to experience that joy of being in a position where God is flowing through your life. It's like, man, I love being a vessel for God. Do. It's a joy. And to know also that you're pleasing to the Lord, because what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, I'm bringing a return to you. Amen. You've given me a little gift and I'm going to be faithful with it. I'm going to invest it and I want to bring a return to you. Amen. You've made an investment in me and I'm going to be a faithful steward over it and I want to increase it. Amen. So I have to get out and I have to start sowing into the lives of others. Hallelujah. Not everybody's called to be a prophet. Amen. Or an evangelist. But we're all called to be a witness, to be an expression. You can share with people what God has done in your life. You've got a testimony. Amen. And you need to remind yourself of that testimony some days. Amen. Just like Israel was to remember Passover, lest they forget and they start to think that somehow they did it. Remember, it was the Lord your God who delivered you out of Egypt, out of bondage. Amen? Lest somehow you start to get arrogant and think, well, I brought myself to this place and time and what I'm doing. You know, that happens sometimes. And I'm not saying all, but there's some older Christians that have forgotten where they came from. And they're usually the ones that will henpeck the new ones that are coming in. I've been in churches before, not here, praise God, and we won't allow it here, where they would just henpeck people out the door. They put all these qualifications on them even to be inside the door. The way they're dressing, or it's like, what do you expect? People don't know better, amen? How many know that Jesus wasn't like that? In fact, Jesus got accused of being a friend of sinners. Ate and drank with them. Oh, my word. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like him, the Pharisee, you know. And that spirit of the leaven of the Pharisees, he said, he warned us about it, can get into the church sometimes. You know what? I want to back up a little bit, because sometimes people do that. People do judge others, okay? In that sense, you know. And not giving them any grace and any space, amen, to kind of fall on their face, get back up, help them up, amen, help them to get back on their feet. You got to be patient in the process, just like God's been patient with us. But sometimes, guys, what the enemy does is he sows an expectation in you, and he says something like this. Now, you've been out of fellowship for a while. You haven't really been living the way you should. You know that. It come up. He's good at reminding us of that. So what's going to happen is if you go in that place, they're all going to know. They're going to look at you. They're going to judge you. And so all of a sudden you're saying, oh, I ain't going in that place. Are you hearing me, somebody? What a liar. And you know what he does? He sows that thought. And if we entertain it, it can actually be instrumental in bringing to pass what you have meditated on, thought on. It's called a bitter root expectation. You get people that get offended in a church, and they go to another church, right? And what happens is we're just carrying it. I've been there. You just carry that stuff wherever you go, and you go in with an expectation. Oh, here we go again. And sure enough, you know, that's a spiritual, that thought is spiritual in nature, and it's actually sowing that expectation. It's the same thing with, well, I got rejected when I was a child. So the person lives with this expectation of rejection. It's a stronghold. So now they go into any group setting, and they're looking around just expecting somebody to not notice me, somebody to reject me. And the problem is we're focused on ourselves. We're full of ourselves. And when we're full of ourselves, we can't be full of Jesus. Come on, somebody. But if you're full of the Holy Spirit, if you're full of God, amen, then you're not living for the expectations of others. You don't care what people think about you, amen. You want to do what's right before the Lord, amen. And if people love you, that's a benefit, amen. But I'm not going to be defined by the opinions of somebody else. Okay. God told Moses, I'm going to be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. So if God gives you an assignment, and he does, God's going to give you the grace to accomplish it. Okay, it's that simple. If he said, Moses, I'm going to be with you, that's all you need to know. Okay? Jeremiah, I'm going to be with you. That's all you need to know. And then the last one, of course, is loving ourselves more than Jesus, which really is at the root of most of everything that happens like this anyways. The biggest battle is to conquer self, self-life, that selfish part of me, to deny that selfish part of me. I cannot serve the Lord. I cannot be a disciple or follower of Jesus if I'm not willing to conquer myself and bring myself under subjection or submission to the authority of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? How many here want to follow Jesus? You want to be a disciple for Jesus? Amen? Then you're going to have to control yourself and make yourself obey and submit. And you're going to have to work on disciplining yourself to pray, first of all. Because in his presence, what will happen is that outer man will die. And the Spirit of the Lord will rise up and overshadow that outer man and give you grace to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to be able to do the will of God in confidence in the Spirit of the Lord. It's no different. I say it many times, but if you've got body armor on, it gives you a sense of security. You feel a lot more secure than if you didn't have it on. And that's the way it is in the Spirit. If you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a man and woman of prayer, amen, you are building yourself up in your spirit, amen, you're strong in the Lord, then you have a supernatural confidence that comes from the Lord. You'll know that the Lord is with you. You know that you're clothed in Him. And fear and insecurity cannot dominate that place, because fear cannot stand in the presence of God. Because perfect love, and that is God, casts out all fear. I want to encourage you to draw near to God. Get into His presence. Get saturated. Get filled and stay filled. Amen. Don't just go to an event and get filled and come home and leak out. Amen. Keep that fire burning, man. Keep your supply of oil every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because your Father knows what you have need of. And everything you have need of, He's got. Just come to Him every day. Receive from Him. Amen. And you do well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.